sports, politics, life, Buck Roofing presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
All this swirling news reminds me of the Billy Joel song, We Didn't Start the Fire, where at the very end he gets so frustrated after talking about all the bad news stories, the meltdowns, the assassinations, the political turmoil, the banking system and all those things. And he says, I can't take it anymore. That's kind of how the song ends. We didn't start the fire. And there's so much going on right now. I'm feeling this. It's a swirl around me about what to do here with the podcast, because there's just so many crazy things happening under the Biden administration that I'm going to do something a little bit different here in a moment. We're going to talk about something philosophical and really big picture, a big American idea that would fundamentally change our country, that I don't know that it's possible, but there could always be a time where if we got control back, maybe this could happen. I read a story on Monday afternoon that I've got to share with you. But the latest, we'll see what happens when the markets all open on Tuesday with this banking collapse at Silicon Valley Bank. We've now learned that Mark Cuban, the billionaire, had over $3 million in this bank, and he's trying to publicly give advice to the government on what they should do. We've got reports that the Biden administration and the FDIC turned down buyers for this bank in recent months that they saw on the spreadsheet. It was going under, and they declined the people to buy the bank. They had a whitelist of acceptable buyers and those that were not acceptable. I think we know what that would be. Liberal or Democrat, woke policy, Green Deal type people that wanted to buy it would be okay. Others would not. This was a very liberal bank. It supported all kinds of Democrat politicians, woke causes, green energy, all of these things, and it's gone under. It's Silicon Valley Bank is toast, and we're going to see others. There's just no question about it. I've heard people say, oh, this will stop it. It'll be okay. There won't be others. There's no chance that there was one or two banks that were investing in long-term treasury bonds, and others weren't. Now, maybe not to the extent of these banks, maybe not that percentages, but they're going to be in trouble as people all over the country are taking money out and doing other things with it. We learned this morning a 6% inflation rate is from the CBI, so we now know we're at 6% inflation. That's a little bit less, but now the Fed is probably stopping raising interest rates because it's crushing banks. So now when he sits there and says the taxpayers pay nothing, it's going to cost you nothing that these banks are going under, okay. They were raising interest rates supposedly to help mom and pop out here to lower the rate of inflation is the reason they were raising interest rates. But now that it's hurting banks, they're going to stop doing that, and inflation be damned if that's what we're going to get is more inflation. Well, the people will just have to deal with that because our donors that own Silicon Valley Bank in one of the most liberal spots in one of the most liberal states and one of the most liberal companies has gone under, and the government is going to bail it out. It makes me, it just completely and utterly makes me want to puke. I have something on my television here in my office that's very unique for my house. I don't have this in any other room, and it's a long story why I've done this, but I have what is called a Roku device on my television, and I'm not big on Roku or streaming or whatever, but this TV is used for very few purposes. There's no reason for me to have much on this. All right, I have it on, as I'm doing the podcast, as I work in the office, I either have it on Fox News, Fox Business, ESPN, Fox Sports 1. Occasionally, if something big is happening locally, I'll have it on a local news channel in the morning. But I have a device here called, it's a Roku, and it basically grabs the Wi-Fi in my house and gives me TV channels. You buy the thing, and then what I've got basically is set up free because I downloaded the Spectrum app, and I have Spectrum in the house, so once I've purchased the thing, that's it. So I don't have the monthly subscription they try to sell me or any of that stuff. I was stunned to see that Roku has $480 million in this Silicon Valley Bank. $480 million. I'm like, aren't there a million little things out there like Roku? How do these companies have that kind of money? Who is all loaded in? It is staggering to me. The sheer number of companies that exist somewhere with some sort of technology that apparently just have billions of dollars. I don't think of Roku as some big deal. Do you? Maybe I'm missing it. I'll probably get emails on this and say, oh, that's a massive company that does this and this and this and this. I want to say I paid $29 for the Roku device that I plugged in, and I sit here and stream all my channels off a different host, not Roku. But this bank was an absolute and utter mess. And I just can't. We got people rushing the border. We talked about this yesterday on a patron podcast. There's just so many things going on with the Biden administration. You cannot trust anything they say or do. When they say, it's going to be okay, it's just this bank, we've got this. No. And then I start to see stories that they had what they're calling a whitelist, which means if you have a whitelist, you have a blacklist. If you have a whitelist, that's a list of companies that you would allow to buy Silicon Valley Bank, but apparently they weren't interested. Blacklisted over here was what? Fundamentally strong, solvent banks that are probably run by conservatives, but they weren't going to let them take Silicon Valley Bank over because everybody was getting paid. The Biden administration got donations. Chuck Schumer got donations. You name a liberal politician, they were all getting donations from this bank. This is every fear that we have of the ruling Democrat class and the things that they do, and they are doing it. So we're going to go a different direction today. And I can't say that's the lead because I just spent 3 or 4 minutes on this bank, but I came across a story that it's really important that I share this with you. I rarely read something that I think is profound, but I've said without reading much history, without knowing much history, without really understanding how this all works, for years, I've said, how is it that the federal government charges me money to work? Well, my labor, my work, they get a cut of. I've never understood that. I've read the Constitution. I understand the principles upon which we were founded. I have never understood how it was constitutional for the government to just say, Kevin, you just went out and made $100 and we want 30 of it. I don't get that. I've never understood it. And I came across a great piece this week by Brianna Lyman of Daily Caller. And it is titled, quote, "It's Time to Abolish the 16th Amendment." Well, you know where this is going, so I won't give away the details here, but the headline is the 16th Amendment is something they added. They changed the Constitution. They amended the Constitution so they could tax us for our income, for working. Lyman writes, the 13th Amendment, 13, not 16th, the 13th Amendment bans involuntary servitude. And yet every single American citizen is involuntarily enslaved to the federal government. You don't think so? Try not paying your taxes this year and see what happens to you. Joe Biden has proposed a tax hike on the wealthy, he says, and Medicare expansion, and he's getting rid of all the Donald Trump tax cuts. So Lyman writes this story and says it's time to get rid of the 16th Amendment. The piece goes on to say, of course, Congress needs money after decades of ballooning the deficit with wasteful and reckless spending. Providing the general welfare rather than promoting the general welfare. The Constitution's very clear. It says our government is supposed to promote the general welfare of the country. It does not say really anywhere, provide for general welfare for citizens. Lyman writes, it is now time to abolish the 16th Amendment and let Congress learn how to live within its means. If you do this, Congress will be forced to do it, obviously. We choke them off. The 16th Amendment chiseled away what little protections were left in the early 20th centuries. President Abe Lincoln signed a bill into law in 1862, allowing Congress to levy an income tax. That law was repealed for being unconstitutional. Congress decided to try its hand in 1894, but again, the Supreme Court ruled the following year this was unconstitutional as it was, quote, a direct tax, unquote. And it is unconstitutional to levy a direct tax. It's very clear in the Constitution. What the Constitution set out to do was basically tax on goods coming in out of the country. Goods, if you make something, you'd be taxed on goods. But a direct tax is levied on a person rather than a good. And direct taxes are unconstitutional. The founders purposely gave Congress the power to levy indirect taxes, because these were generally consumption taxes. For example, they very quickly imposed taxes on liquor. Thus, if taxes became too high, consumers could refuse to purchase said goods, forcing the government to make concessions based on what the people wanted. Does this all sound familiar? I've talked about this for years, and I've really never studied it. I was never taught it. This is just common sense living my life, thinking I wouldn't mind paying higher taxes on buying a car or a washer and dryer or a television if you're not taking my money for working. It just seems like the right thing to do. Well, our Constitution is set up that way. The founders left the power of direct taxation up to the states, curbing the federal government's ability to impose these taxes. So states would have the ability to do that. And if a state decided to do an income tax, there wouldn't be much you could do about it, but you could move to another state where there aren't income taxes. And we still have plenty of states like that today. By 1913, Lyman writes, quote, "These greedy bastards knew that levying a direct tax through an income tax was unconstitutional, leaving them just one option, change the Constitution itself," unquote. And they did. The 16th Amendment reads, "The Congress shall have the power to lay and collect taxes on incomes from whatever source derived, without apportionment among the several states, and without regard to any census or enumeration." I mean, that is as complete and vague and indestructible as anything I've ever heard. So now we hear from the Biden administration, they're only going to raise taxes on the wealthy. Well, when they implemented this and the 16th Amendment came along, they only taxed the rich, the nation's top earners, people making $3,000 or more, which was a tiny percentage of the population. Within 5 years, but folks, wait, this is great. Within 5 years of the 16th Amendment, within 5 years, the tax rate had hit 77%. Which, while ridiculous, it still didn't touch most earners. But chisel away, chisel away, chisel away, and here we are 100 years later. Eventually, everyone is taxed. If this all sounds familiar, it's because socialists like AOC and Bernie Sanders keep trying to sell the shtick that their tax increases only pertain to top earners, when anybody can easily read that history tends to repeat itself. This is a tremendous article. It concludes by saying the United States survived from 1776 to 1912 just fine without income taxes. Surely the United States can survive the 21st century. I couldn't be more in agreement. Ultimately, our problem with our government and what has transpired and how this Democrat Party has ballooned and spent and taxed and spent and ballooned and grown, and the waste and the fraud and the handouts and even the government jobs where people don't do squat. It has ultimately happened because of the 16th Amendment. There has been so much money, so much ability to spend, that they just find things to spend the money on. That the money's just sitting there, that there's so much of it from so many sources, duplicitous taxes. And how many of your dollars are taxed 2, 3, 4 times? It's insane the amount of taxation we have. And it's created trillions and trillions of dollars of income for our government, which has emboldened the people in power to say, we've got this never-ending source of money. Let's spend it. Let's spend it on things that we personally want. Let's start a war in Ukraine. Let's bail out these banks. Let's open the borders and create asylum for all these people. We'll take care of them when they get here. We'll give away shots for a virus free. You name it, they hand it out. They hand it out because of the 16th Amendment. It is an amendment to the Constitution that is absolutely unconstitutional. The Supreme Court multiple times shot down the ability for the federal government to tax us on our income. Again, the check and balance of government sometimes is the people. They designed it to be through elections, but certainly through taxation, which is the reason this whole experiment happened, was taxation without representation. The king was taxing us. We had no say. We'll build a new country where we vote for the people that represent us, and they'll be allowed to implement some taxes on goods and things like that. But if we don't like the way they're doing it, we'll vote them out. But you can't tax us directly as humans, as citizens. 150 years into this experiment comes the 16th Amendment, which overrides the Founding Fathers and the Constitution. And here we are 100 years later than that with trillions and trillions of dollars in income tax, which has led to almost every economic, social, political, and wartime problem that we have. The problem that we, seriously, the problems that we have in politics are fighting over this money. The problems we have in war is having so much money that we can just go get involved in any conflict we want, and it doesn't seem to change anything. Every time we have a financial crisis, it stems from the government and the way they spend money. This, at this point, everything that's happening with the banks and everything that we're doing comes from the government printing money and handing out money they don't have. So not only do they get the 16th Amendment and trillions of dollars to spend of our income tax, it's not enough. They go over that amount and spend even more and start deficit spending. So if you just thought about two simple changes to the Constitution, what if instead of a 16th Amendment, we had an amendment that said Congress, the United States federal government, has to work on a balanced budget every single year, that there's an amendment that says it has to balance. They cannot spend more than they take in. What if our country was doing that and we still had all this great ingenuity and creativity and entrepreneurship and we were all the things we've always been, because taxation and government spending didn't create any of this? What if we had those two simple changes? What if the 16th Amendment were gone and there were an amendment there that says the federal government has to work within its budget? What would America be? Wow. Now, I'm not trying to bring you down. I just think it's a big picture, interesting concept idea that, again, most of us that like this podcast we're constitutionalists. We're traditionalists. We love the way they set the country up. And this is yet another way that politicians that want to spend money and tax people have fundamentally changed this country by doing just that. This is all against what the Founding Fathers wanted. I mean, the 16th Amendment, if I don't know if people were paying attention, I've not read that. I'm going to read the history on how they got this passed and who did it and how and why and were people not paying attention, because it couldn't be more anti-Constitution. They literally brought an amendment to the Constitution that goes against everything the Constitution stands for. It says, okay, everything you already read, forget that. We're going to put one paragraph in here that overrides all that. And that's what they've done. Interesting story. It's a Daily Caller. The author is Brianna Lyman. Very good read. I think you'll like it. KKHI is brought to you by bstock.net, 14680 South Flaming Road. You want a new big screen for the madness? Get out there this week. You can walk right in to the warehouse in Olathe, or you can order online at bstock.net. They also have just hundreds of laptops, computers, desktops, tablets, anything electronics. They even have appliances at bstock.net. You're going to save typically about 30% off of Best Buy or Nebraska Furniture Mart. And they do a red tag deal of the week. It's an auction every single week at the KK List, which is our website where all our sponsors are. This week, it's an HP 255 G7 15.6-inch laptop. An authorized HP dealer is B-Stock. It has an AMD A-Series processor. This is just a really great computer, okay? I didn't look at the price before I got started here today. These things start at like $29, and then they go up. It's an auction. If you'd like to bid on the auction item of the week, the red tag deal is always, always at thekklist.com. That's where we put all of our sponsors with the podcast and more, like the red tag auction item, thekklist.com, and our friends at bstock.net. Window World's the KK List. They're right up top as one of the founding sponsors of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. It is springtime, and it's time to think about that project on your home that's going to save you energy bills this summer off your air conditioning, keep the rain out, and get rid of all the wood rot and stuff maybe you have with your older windows. Window World has American-made windows with lifetime warranties, 0% financing available, J.D. Power & Associates awards for customer service. They're everything all in one company that you'd expect. They're great conservatives. They know customer service. They love America. And they love your home. And they know it's likely your biggest investment. WindowWorld.com or 816 877-799-0820. Simply the best for less. It's Window World. Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. Oh, they got some 0% financing coming. Here we go. Stay tuned for the details. If you're in the truck market, GM is getting ready to offer 0% financing again as these rates have gone way up. The car companies are like, okay, it's slowing down. People aren't buying like they were. They're going to bring the 0% back, which is a pretty cool option for a lot of folks. That'll be Chevy, Buick, GMC at Roberts Robinson. Call Tim Trader for details. Ask him about it. 816-826-1563. Just ask for Tim. And know that if you buy at Roberts Robinson, it's home of the lifetime warranty. That's included in every new vehicle. Chevrolet, Buick, GMC at robertsrobinson.com in Excelsior Springs, home of the lifetime warranty, and GMC is professional grade. The Kansas City Star routinely writes stories about a small oil spill that happened in Kansas off the Keystone Pipeline. And the only reason I bring this up is they get obsessed with things that nobody, and I mean nobody, cares about. We had a train derailment in Ohio that was a complete and utter disaster. Joe Biden blew up a gas pipeline, the Nord Stream 2. America blew that up. Period, end of statement. They said publicly, if they invade, if this happens, the Nord Stream 2 pipeline will come to an end one way or another. And then it blows up. Well, I don't think Putin did it. Okay? So we're creating all these environmental disasters everywhere. That's what we're doing. The Biden Transportation Administration and the pipeline and all these different things. So we've got real environmental problems that Joe Biden is creating. Now they're mad at him because he's going to drill in Alaska on this Willow project. Oh, but the Kansas City Star is fixated on a small little leak somewhere in Kansas from the Keystone Pipeline. And the only reason I bring this up is it's so disingenuous. And the Kansas City Star has lost its way so dramatically. If they really are concerned about the environment and want to quote the Sierra Club, let's talk about the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. Go find out who blew it up. If the Kansas City Star wants to be what it used to be, and you want to win a Pulitzer, go find out who blew up the pipeline. And this just in, there's enough leftists in the media that know the leftists running our country that they will tell you who blew it up and how Biden gave the order. Break that story on Biden and the Democrats and how they created this environmental disaster in the ocean. Do that. Do the story on the windmills off the Atlantic coast there in New York and New Jersey that are killing whales right now. Let's do it. Let's talk about all the birds that die. How about the bald eagles that fly into these windmills and die? Our American bird. It's a felony to pick up a bald eagle feather and keep it. It's a felony to do that. But they just fly into these windmills and get killed, and we're okay with that. How about some of those stories and not this little leak in the Keystone Pipeline? It's so disingenuous. We had a massive train wreck. The Biden administration said very plainly, for all of you at the work at the Kansas City Star, your people that you support could not have stated this more plainly. Pipelines are the safest thing we have with gases and chemicals. Then it's trains. Then it's trucks. Period. End of statement. That's it. The Biden administration has said pipelines are the safest, best for the environment. Then trains. Then trucks. And this all makes sense. Pipelines don't break very often unless you blow them up because of a war. Pipelines don't break very often and don't really, you know, consume the energy, the fossil fuels that trains and trucks do. It's so stupid. It's so stupid. They're playing on what? Local fears. Oh, we spilled some oil in Kansas. Don't pay. This is the bait and switch. Don't pay attention to the Nord Stream, the mess over there. For God's sake, don't pay attention to Joe Biden blowing one of these things up and creating an environmental disaster. Don't pay attention to Pete Buttigieg out on paternity leave while trains are crashing and we're having just ridiculous toxic problems in the state of Ohio. Don't pay attention to that. We got this little bitty leak out here in Kansas off the Keystone Pipeline, which is the safest thing we have. In politics, Donald Trump visited Iowa on Monday. This felt like the beginning of his campaign. The day Mitch McConnell gets out of the hospital, McConnell was in the hospital, what, a week? Quite a while. He was in for many days. After tripping and falling at a dinner event, cracking his head, and getting a concussion and staying in the hospital, 81-year-old McConnell gets out. Trump calls McConnell in Iowa, quote, a disaster. He said McConnell's wife is a sellout, and we have to get McConnell the hell out, unquote. Then Trump went on to say Ron DeSantis, he calls him DeSantis, which I guess is now short for DeSanctimonious. He calls him Ron DeSantis, and I think this is the playbook. I think you're going to hear this a lot. Donald Trump immediately at his first campaign stop in Iowa says, don't be fooled, he is Mitt Romney. It looks good, it sounds good, it is not good. Wow, strong stuff. Now, that's better than name calling. I don't think Ron DeSantis is Mitt Romney. I've not seen anything in Ron DeSantis that reminds me of Mitt Romney. I don't see it. But that's how the campaign has started. And there it is, Trump in Iowa calling Mitch McConnell a disaster. Mitch McConnell does have to go. You know, Trump makes a good point. He says he's got seven or eight buddies in the Senate, and they work with Joe Biden, and then they just get everything passed. And that's what McConnell does. And that's right. I'm ready for Tom Cotton or Josh Hawley or somebody to be the Senate leader for the Republicans. I'm ready for somebody different. I'm absolutely ready for somebody different. There's no doubt about that. And I don't know how the Republicans do that. To research this a little bit. How do we oust McConnell? Get him out. And we'll see how it plays in Iowa for Donald Trump to insult Ron DeSantis, because this is not good for the party. It's not. Look, this is what campaigns are. And he's campaigning, saying, I'm a more MAGA, more conservative, more populist candidate than Ron DeSantis. That's fair game. And comparing him to Mitt Romney is probably not all that accurate, but that seems like fair game to me. It's better than running around and calling him names. It says to me that they've put a lot of thought in, how do we go after DeSantis here? What do we do? Remember, DeSantis cannot announce that he's running until the end of May. So Trump has free run here for a while. DeSantis has issues in the state of Florida and the laws that they have there. You have to basically step down as governor to run, but they're going to change the law. Again, it's been changed several times in Florida. They're going to change the law to where it says he has to step down if he becomes the nominee. So he can run the campaign, but if he doesn't get, only when he gets the nomination will he have to step down as governor of Florida. They're working on that, and they'll get that done. This is an interesting decision Trump has made. We're going to compare DeSantis, and let's just make Mitt Romney the bad guy. So what is it that works with comparing to Mitt Romney? They're younger than Trump. They look good on television when they're running. There's a lot to like there. You go, wow, there's a successful, smart person. You're also attaching him to a guy that lost. It was maybe too nice. You could say, just too nice of a guy. That now later on, we found out his true colors, and he's not really even a Republican. Romney maybe is more of a liberal than anything else. There's a lot of reasons to compare DeSantis to Romney. Is it accurate? I don't think so. I don't. But I can see where that's a winning political strategy. That is a lot better than name calling. I mean, maybe you just start calling him Ron Romney. I don't know. I mean, if you're coming up with a nickname, I wouldn't be insulting the guy. I don't think that's going to work this time. I think DeSantis is a popular enough figure with too many Trump voters. I mean, there's a crossover here. There are a lot of Trump voters that like DeSantis. So he needs to rebrand DeSantis as something that he's not, and that's what they're attempting to do. It's very fascinating to watch. Sometimes it's fascinating to watch the guys from Advantage come to your house and apply the pest control. Sometimes it's boring. Sometimes you just walk around and spray, but sometimes you got a critter issue in the attic or something going on outside, they do all that as well. And that can be really interesting to watch. Like you get a raccoon or something trapped down in your little window well and it can't get out, and you call Advantage, they come take care of it. That's worth watching at least through the window, right? I'm definitely not going out. I get a bunch of wasp nests and they come by and start spraying those for me. I'm not going out there. No, we know my phobia. See, this is really why I love Advantage. My houses through the years have basically, they know. They actually asked years ago, what's the big thing? I said, man, I hate wasp nests under my deck, around the, they don't call them soffits outside. What do they call the overhang of your roof? I hate them. Every time they come, regular service, they take special interest at my house to try to find wasp nests and eradicate them. Oh, does that make me happy? AdvantageTPC.com. North Kansas City Dental. Tomorrow is my checkup day. I'm going in for the teeth cleaning. Just a regular checkup. It's easy to schedule. I was talking with a fellow over the weekend that says, you know, guys just don't like to go to the dentist. I'm like, you don't, but you should. And I don't understand, for example, why our insurance covers teeth cleaning, but it doesn't cover an $85 heart scan. I don't understand a lot of these things. Insurance. I don't get it. But your insurance does cover your checkup. You should go to the dentist. You could have something going on there that you can preventatively stop from happening before it's really bad. And it doesn't hurt to have somebody clean your teeth. Maybe your jaws get a little tired from having your mouth open for a while. Whatever. You're okay. You're a big boy. Go do this. NKCDental.com. Just schedule a regular appointment. 816-471-2911. These are good folks. They absolutely know everything that they're doing. They love sports. And they're conservative. We like that about NKCDental.com. And, of course, my buddy Tim Cross over at Cross Kitchens KC, Kansas City's remodeler. Whether it's your kitchen or simply countertop replacements or floor refinishing, they'll do bathrooms, man caves, anything in your home to add value, beauty, and update it is a good investment. Investing in your home is a really, really smart idea right now. CrossKitchensKC.com, 816-898-7047, online, CrossKitchensKC.com. I got an unbelievable email from Greg. I mentioned about the Oscars that the movie that won everything was called Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, and nobody could explain what the hell it's about, and nobody's seen it, and it was nominated for 11 Oscars and won 7. I said, this is a problem because I think they got some viewers Sunday night that were tuning in because of Avatar or Top Gun or things like that, and then people quickly were dissuaded from watching. And Greg sent me an email, which was unbelievable, and he's clearly a film expert and a film buff. I emailed him back and said, wow, would you be a great show producer for a podcast host? I mean, this dude is smart and thorough and knows this topic. He goes, Kevin, this is right in my wheelhouse. I told you I'd get 3 emails. I got exactly 3 emails. One of them was a crack. Like, I didn't watch the Oscars. I'm not watching that movie. I'm done with Hollywood. Good enough. I got 3 emails. But Greg sent this one. It was really long and it was really informational. It was really great. And he has let me know that Everything Everywhere All at Once is not the most decorated Oscar movie of all time. That Ben-Hur, Titanic, and Lord of the Rings each won 11 Oscars. So the reports that were out there were inaccurate. I was merely the mockingbird here, echoing the reports that were out there. It is, I guess, the only sci-fi. Lord of the Rings is not sci-fi. Is Lord of the Rings considered fantasy? What would you consider Lord of the Rings? So Lord of the Rings is not sci-fi. They said this is the only sci-fi movie ever that's won Best Picture. There is no way to describe what Everything Everywhere All at Once is other than a bunch of drug-fueled crazy people that are artists that found their way to Hollywood believe that there are multiple universes in addition to ours. And we'll use me as an example, or you as an example, either one of us, that in multiple universes, we exist simultaneously. Oh my God, think of this. Like, there could be 11 different Kevin Keatsmans in different universes. That's a frightening thought. That's got to scare a lot of people to think there could be 11 of me out there in some iteration in 11 different universes. That's what this movie is about. He said, I watched it, but got tired around midnight and turned it off and never finished watching it. It was incredibly hard to follow because it's one woman, basically one woman, living multiple lives in multiple places all at once. And I've decided this movie is not for me. It is not for me. I appreciate, you know, open thinkers, people who like to think, you know, are we alone? Is there more? Throughout the history of man, most of this thinking has been about a maker, about our God, about why we are here, how we got here, how this beautiful, glorious thing is happening and why. And it does seem that it should be, if you think about this, a creator has done this, that this can't be some happy accident in a black hole. that something greater somewhere exists and we just don't know what that is. We are faithful and hope and pray that we know what it is and that we're right, that it's righteous and good and all those things. But wow, it's an epic human struggle since the beginning of human beings. You know, how and why? How are we here and why are we here? And this is a new take on that, but it basically says, this isn't very unique. God didn't create something special. There's anti-religion in this. Don't even think for a second that there's no anti-religion in this concept. It's saying God didn't, you know, create this wonder. He didn't send his only begotten son. None of that happened. There's a whole bunch of these out there. We just don't know about them. We're not unique. We're not special. And for the most part, all the other worlds in the multiverse, which is what they call it, are really similar to ours. Okay, so who created that? I don't know. That's what the movie is about, and I'm out. I'm going to, maybe when basketball's over, I'll just put Top Gun on again and watch it for the third or fourth time. That'll work for me. A lot of Hollywood didn't want Top Gun to win anything. Did you guys see this? The MSNBC contributors and movie critics, all the leftists are like, this is an outdated glorification of the United States and the United States military being righteous and good in the world. And it's total propaganda and it should not be celebrated. And it definitely should not be honored with Oscar nominations. Can you believe living in this country and believing that? Hard to believe, isn't it? Hard to believe. Southwest Airlines is making a change. Well, they're trying to make a lot of changes. You know, they've had a little problem going on. This is interesting because this is the kind of stuff that I find fascinating. What if every Southwest jet all day long loaded and emptied 1 minute faster? What if they saved 1 minute on every airplane all day? People getting on, people getting off. What if they could find a way to save 1 minute each way? What would that do for the functionality of their airline? Southwest Airlines has announced that they've started this in Atlanta. They're going to bring it to more places, likely Kansas City, I guess. They're going to play disco music, kids music, bouncy, fast-paced, boom, 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 fast-paced, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Fast-paced music in the jetway. It is scientifically proven that high beats per minute music makes slow, lazy, uninterested, or even people that are not particularly well or have the ability to move quickly, it gets them moving quickly. It gets them to pay attention, be alert to their surroundings, and move quicker. I'm all for this. If you heard my tirade a couple of weeks ago when we came back from the Caribbean, what an utter scam that was. So many of you have reached out and said, it is ridiculous travel today compared to what it used to be, where people cared. And maybe it's because we feel like the airlines don't care or the entire experience doesn't matter anymore. But people used to pay attention. They used to at least like take a shower before they got on an airplane. It seems like a low bar. Showering before you get on or put some deodorant on, maybe brush your teeth. Not anymore. Southwest Airlines has noticed they're going to start playing music, try to move these people along a little bit. I mean, I don't know. I'm a terrible person. And I always say people can do whatever they want until they hurt someone else. If you're causing a plane to be late, it's a small thing, but you're hurting other people. If you show up stoned in your tie-dye sweats, and everything is blurry to you and your head's all foggy and you can't get your thing scanned and you're not getting on and, oh, I forgot my bag and I got to go back and get this. If you're doing that, you're hurting other people. Those people seem to be everywhere. Southwest Airlines has taken notice and they are doing something about it, which is kind of cool. Sports coming right up, brought to you by Finch Knife Company, online at finchknifeco.com or check them out in person in a beautiful display case at Shields or the Bullet Hole in Mission. Finch Knife Company. Keep life from getting dull. They are so proud of the beautiful new Hatfield line of Finch pocket knives. These are beautiful collections of art or everyday utensils to keep on you. Just a wonderful thing to have. a Finch pocket knife. Buy one for you or as a gift online, finchknifeco.com. 360 Document Solutions, serving businesses in Western Missouri and all of the state of Kansas. Whether you need IT solution help, mailing systems, you want to outsource IT, copiers, printers, phone systems, 360 Document Solutions can get you in something that costs you less and is actually better and more productive. Online at 360documentsolutions.com. And my man, Dr. Jeremy, over at Fry Orthodontics. Fry Orthodontics for kids and adults. You want to get your teenager that beautiful smile for life? Get them in what? Around age 12, 13? Perfect. 13 locations. There's one around the corner. Our family has a long history with Fry Orthodontics. We are proud to say that they have delivered. I was with my daughter on Sunday. A beautiful smile for life. I should have brought it up. I should have said, let me smile, Abby. Let me see that. Let me see what you got there. Let me see your grill. Gorgeous teeth. Beautiful smile. Very confident young lady. Fry Orthodontics helped in so many ways. And they can help you, whether it's your teenager or you as an adult. Need a little straightening, a little help? Fry Orthodontics would love to do that with Invisalign or braces. Schedule your first appointment. It's absolutely free. First appointment's free. Go in and get the consultation. Mention the podcast, fryorthodontics.com. Pretty cool folks over there. All right, no basketball on this podcast. We're going to have a separate podcast coming up. We're doing a bonus podcast. Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports is going to join us. He's going to give bracket advice and some picks. He's got some great selections this week for March Madness. So we'll have Lee Sterling on, and we'll lock in completely on basketball on that bonus podcast coming. But we did have a couple of things happen in football that are worth noting. We talked some baseball on the podcast yesterday. The World Baseball Classic, I've been watching it. Venezuela's looking good. The United States run-ruled Canada yesterday, which is good because the United States had lost previous to that, and that was somewhat embarrassing to Mexico. But we're going to stick with football here. The Chiefs signed offensive tackle Juwan Taylor to left tackle money, $60 million guaranteed, $80 million total. He comes over from Jacksonville, where 4 years ago he was the 35th pick in the draft and played in every single game for the Jaguars. So this is a reliable player that plays a lot. Chiefs are making him, it appears, their new left tackle. Jimmy Garoppolo leaves the San Francisco 49ers and heads to the Las Vegas Raiders. This is of note because it's in the division. Is Garoppolo a better player for the Raiders than Derek Carr? Will this make a difference? I kind of think so. I think Carr is a little more spectacular. I think Garoppolo, when healthy, he gets hurt a lot. When healthy, the game manager component to Garoppolo could actually benefit the Raiders. They maybe got to a point where they were just relying too much on the spectacular. And when you rely too much on the spectacular and you don't have Patrick Mahomes, it doesn't work out well for you. This could be good for the Raiders. We'll see. I'm not giving this thing some sort of a C-. That's a, if you're saying goodbye to Derek Carr and you're bringing in Jimmy Garoppolo for the Raiders, I think this makes sense. He's worked with the head coach before. Sean Payton is the busiest coach in Denver in free agency. They signed two offensive linemen and a tight end for Russell Wilson. So he clearly pored over the film, watched the Broncos, and said, not nearly enough blocking up front, and we need some help at tight end. The tight end is a big, big, giant blocking tight end. So it looks like Sean Payton's going to try to improve the running game in Denver to help out Russell Wilson. So a lot of goings on in the AFC West as free agency is open in the NFL. We hope you'll check back later on Tuesday or Wednesday for Lee Sterling and our March Madness preview. We'll go around the brackets, give you some tips on historically which seeds have upset. It used to be 12 versus 6. Do I have the numbers right? 6 versus 7, 8, 9, 10, 7 versus 10, 8 versus 6 versus 11, whatever it is. It used to be that one. He's going to have all the numbers for you on which ones historically have the better chance of upsetting the higher seed. All those things before you fill out your brackets. Or if you'd like to place a wager, he's going to have some tips on the teams that have been really good at covering this year, undervalued in Vegas and maybe overvalued by bettors. We'll see, and we'll do all that with Lee Sterling. So check back on that as we'll double up the podcast, have some bonus podcasts this week for March Madness right here at KKHI.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.